For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, and a request that you subscribe to it and hit the subscribe button on YouTube or Rumble as well, if you haven't already, because we offer you shelter from climate madness. Or shelter from shelter in this case, because our lead story is that the reckless mania for geoengineering now includes an item from the New York Times Climate Forward that says, quote, "With Earth at its hottest point in recorded history, and humans doing far from enough to stop its overheating, astronomers and physicists are proposing a potential fix. The equivalent of a giant beach umbrella floating in outer space," end quote. Somewhere out there, perhaps floating in space, is this old notion that humility is a good thing. But not for alarmists, because, after all, what could go wrong when humans succumb to hubris and redesign the entire Earth in their minds? Other than Nemesis, we mean. Climate Forward actually introduces that story as, quote, "Today we're bringing you one story we think you'll like," end quote, which makes us wonder what story they think we'd hate. Maybe the one about the time scientists miscalculated and pushed the planet back into an ice age. Would we do that? Well, the story says, quote, "Scientists have calculated that if just shy of 2% of the sun's radiation is blocked, that would be enough to cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit and keep Earth within manageable climate boundaries," end quote. Manageable boundaries? You can manage a planet? Can we see your resume and check for your practical prior experience in this field? And we ask especially because the people convinced that there are tipping points around every corner, all leading to runaway heating of the sort the planet has not experienced, even when far warmer than today with more CO2, but this time for sure, don't seem to think that there could possibly be any that lead the other way to, gosh, one of the glaciations that we've seen as many as 20 of in the last 2 million years. For that matter, you never hear of a tipping point where a desert becomes lush, just the other kind. So what if instead of just under 2, they actually hit 2 and the temperature plunges? Heck no, nothing like that could happen with the experts in charge. Hey you 40%ers, I know you're out there. You're the 40% who are watching but haven't yet subscribed to the channel. And I want to ask you please to click this button and get us from 84,000 to 100,000 subscribers in the next 2 months. It doesn't cost you anything. It helps us grow the Climate Discussion Nexus, and it helps protect us against getting deplatformed. So just click here, and we'll get back to the show. Now, journalists are meant to be skeptical, but apparently not on trendy causes, at least not in recent times, including this geoengineering business, or a piece in the Daily Digest starting, quote, "It seems impossible, but some people still deny climate change science," end quote, and then continues, beneath a caricature of, wait for it, Donald Trump, quote, "We all know somebody who thinks this climate change stuff is a bunch of hogwash. 40 years ago, it was easier to understand, but as of late, it is pretty mind-blowing that some people can have this level of cognitive dissonance," end quote. And frankly, we're rather skeptical that this journalist, who we doubt was around 40 years ago, really does know such a person. We think they're probably only talking to one another and failing to examine assumptions or check facts because it's, like, mind-blowing that anyone could disagree with, like, us, man. But at a certain point, even journalists sometimes check the details, and that's when it really gets mind-blowing. For instance, there's a story that says, quote, "Norway hit by hurricane-force winds. Is climate change making Europe's extreme storms worse?" end quote, and then answers by saying, quote, "Unsurprisingly, many across the UK, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, and other storm-hit European countries this winter will be wondering whether climate change is partly to blame," end quote, but then admits that it's not. The story says, quote, "It's quite a complex issue and not quite as simple as the increasing frequency of heat waves in the UK as a result of human-induced climate change," end quote, according to a Weather Service spokesman with the British Met Office. Now, at the risk of appearing to nitpick, there hasn't been an increase in the frequency of heat waves. There certainly hasn't been one in the UK. But at least they admit that some things that are happening that you might think are climate change are not. That actually counts as progress these days. It also counts as progress that former IMF chief economist Olivier Blanchard just told the British House of Lords Economic Affairs Committee that transitioning to this fabled low-carbon economy will be, quote, "much more expensive than people imagine," end quote. How much more? Well, he didn't really know, and nor does anyone else, but a whole lot. as he said, quote, the public does not believe or has not been made to understand that it is going to be costly for them. It is going to be costly, and that message has to be sent out, end quote. Which does prompt us to ask why exactly you told us the opposite for 30 years. But still, better late than never. Yes, it really will cost a lot. How much? Well, BlackRock reports, quote, as many as a fifth of Canadians face energy poverty due to high costs, says the Canadian Journal of Public Health. Depending on the measure, 6 to 19% of Canadian households face energy poverty, said a peer-reviewed study led by a McGill professor, end quote. And here we were told carbon taxes made us richer. Oh dear. And now, cue the circus tunes, apply the red putty noses, and don the fright wigs. Someone called Mark Maslin, whose day job is Professor of Natural Sciences at University College London, has paired with someone called Joe Brand, whose day job is renowned British comedian and the Great British Bake Off host, end quote, in, quote, a project that translates complex climate science into accessible and funny content to spur millions of people into action, end quote. Millions, we tell you. So, here's a progressive knee slapper to get things started. Quote, Joe asked me in our chat after recording the main film, was it time for scientists to be allowed to swear as things are so bad, end quote. Hilarious. Ah, and speaking of comedians, and it has been said before, but Bill Maher did a particularly eloquent takedown of all the anti-greenhouse gas celebrities streaming out of Vegas after the Super Bowl in private jets. Now that's funny. On the other hand, it isn't cool to say so, but, quote, the rate of global greening caused by recent increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide has accelerated during the last two decades, according to important new findings recently published by a group of Chinese scientists, end quote. Their study says that about 55% of the Earth's land surface saw accelerated growth of plants and only 7.3% a decline, which rather gives the lie to claims of widespread crop failure and desertification due to climate change or anything else. But it also prompts us to wonder whether there might not be some positive tipping points where slow change suddenly leads to a desert blooming, assuming that you're in favor of deserts blooming. In the newsletter, we also note that it's not unusual in public policy debates for people to talk past one another, but it does seem unusually severe on the topic of alternative energy. Wind, solar, and these other kinds of ways of heating our homes, cooking our food, and getting around are crucial to the plans of all but the most anti-human, back-to-the-Stone-Age climate alarmists. They want us to be able to preserve something resembling our way of life while reducing carbon emissions down to net zero. But even leaving aside the dubious math about the manufacture, operation, and disposal of things like wind turbines and solar panels, which have a very ugly environmental footprint, the cascade of claims that during their working lifetime they're delivering the goods is weird to read. Things like the Canary Media email, Texas is becoming a battery juggernaut, oblige us to borrow a line from the Phantom of the Paradise and insist that these people learn to tell the difference between zealot real and real real. Which brings me to our next item, that as the problems with so-called alternative energy become clearer and more pressing, a new green savior has appeared on the horizon. Hydrogen is all the rage, as in green hydrogen, including with investors souring on previous failed breakthroughs. Justin Trudeau, a man who never misses a progressive bandwagon, just gave a disastrous interview about how dumb Albertans are, in which he tossed out glibly, based on his lifetime uncontaminated by real-world commerce or engineering, that, quote, if you can build a pipeline for oil sands oil, you can build a pipeline for hydrogen, end quote. Coming from a man who can't build a pipeline for oil sands oil, even after dumping $21 billion taxpayer dollars into what was originally a $5 billion project. Now, should Trudeau turn his business and engineering expertise to hydrogen, he'll find out that green hydrogen isn't really green, and it doesn't really work unless the job you assign for it is incinerating public subsidies. By way of background, conventional or blue hydrogen suffers from the problem that it's extracted from methane at considerable energy cost, and the byproduct is CO2, so it's just like burning the methane directly, saving several steps, except way less efficient. But green hydrogen has to come from wind and solar, or nuclear, and since wind and solar don't really work and most environmentalists still irrationally fear nuclear, well, back to those subsidies. Or maybe back to nuclear. And here let's give credit where due. The Canadian province of Ontario, which already uses a lot of it, is looking to use more of it, not less, And the Globe and Mail newspaper actually ran an op-ed calling spent nuclear fuel, quote, a non-carbon source of affordable energy for every global citizen over the coming centuries, end quote. Now, it may not bring them a lot of fan mail that they're talking about getting this high-level waste cooking again, but yes, it's a proven technology despite all the scaremongering about nuclear waste as, they say, an unsolved and unsolvable problem, end quote. It's nothing of the sort, as they explain in the article. But, speaking of not checking facts or logic, Bloomberg recently ran a column saying, and we are not making it up, quote, $266 trillion in climate spending is a no-brainer, end quote. To which we reply, yes, only those with no brain could support it, because everything imaginable is wrong with that claim, including that anyone even could spend $266 trillion. Quick question, what's the GDP of the United States of America? Right, and congratulations, it's $25 trillion more or less. So, how could anyone attempt to get their hands on 10 or more times that amount, more than 2.5 times the entire world GDP of around $96 trillion, and then spend it in ways that change the weather? How could you even burn through it all at random? Why would you want to? Well, apparently some computer model said that if we don't, climate change will cost us $2.3 quadrillion by the year 2100. And even that, supposedly, is just chump change. Quote, those quadrillions would just be the direct economic damage of such tangible climate effects as floods, wildfires, droughts, hurricanes, productivity loss, and illness. They don't include the destruction wrought by wars, forced migration, or biodiversity loss, end quote. Do they really think they know in exact detail wars that would result from the temperature going up half a degree? Of course not. It's a pillion of speculation atop an ossa of guesswork disguised as mathiness. And sure enough, deep down in it lurks our old enemy, the exploded RCP 8.5 scenario. So, flawed assumptions and torqued computer models will get you the answer you wanted, just not one that's of any use to anyone else. In the installment of our Getting Worse series in this newsletter, we look at floods this week, because a flood will occur somewhere around the world this year, and when it does, we know what the experts will say. They're getting worse because of climate change. And how do they know floods are getting worse? The same way they know everything is getting worse, because they know that with climate change, everything is getting worse. Now, in some places, floods probably are getting worse. But for the world as a whole, the last IPCC report said, heavy precipitation events have likely increased in some places since the mid-20th century, but, quote, confidence in an overall increase at the global scale remains very low, end quote. Which in their language doesn't mean they believe it, but they really want more evidence. It means that based on the evidence they've got, they think it's extremely unlikely to be happening. And stream flow records showed no global trend. And before you dismiss the IPCC as a bunch of industry-funded denier crackpots, there's more evidence where that came from. A 2023 study by a group of French and Australian climate scientists gathered up rainfall and stream flow records from around the world to try and get a long-term perspective on the topic and found, well, variety, not trends. So yes, floods happen, and one or more will happen somewhere this year. But despite the alarmist slogans, they aren't getting worse. In the newsletter, we also note a 2022 study by scientists Joel Tenenbaum and Paul Williams arguing that climate change was making air turbulence worse and thus ruining air travel. And of course, the usual alarmist media suspects were all over it, confidently declaring that air travel was being ruined due to man-made global warming. But the study was based on only 18 years of data. When 3 more years of data were collected, the trend disappeared. Now, here's the critical point. When they made that discovery, the authors, to their great credit, wrote a letter to the editor of the journal that had published their paper and said, quote, when we add these new years to the previous results, the statistical significance assigned to the now 22-year North Atlantic winter jet stream increase within the global aircraft data set, GADS boxes, disappears, end quote. Now, maybe with 3 more years of data, the trend will return, or maybe it'll go down. We don't know. But what we do know, and we're very glad to see, is that there are some honest folks out there willing to let the data do the talking. So we salute Tenenbaum and Williams for it. And we're convinced they're not alone. There is still honor and integrity in science, and there's still courage, we're happy to say, because we're going to need it. Finally, in the newsletter, we bring you another study from the CO2science.org archive. It's a high-resolution study of sediments in the southern Caribbean that were deposited over the past 825 years, and guess what it found? Yep, natural significant climate regime shifts going on all the time. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I'll carry my own umbrella, thanks.